Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Hey, Mark, how are you?
I'm good, Mike. How you doing?
Good. We're going to talk thyroid cancer. Thyroid follicular epithelial-derived cancers include a number of sort of subcategories, including papillary and follicular and anaplastic cancers. The papillary and the follicular ones are considered differentiated cancers, and patients with these tumors are often treated similarly, despite the fact that there are sort of biologic differences. The use of head and neck external beam radiation, which was commonly used to treat benign childhood conditions. I know you don't remember this, but I don't either, but for about 50 years, when someone had a tonsillitis or something, they often got irradiated. And that irradiation, I don't know what it did for the tonsillitis, but it led to this increase in thyroid cancers in the second half of the last century. The increase in thyroid cancer in the United States and in Western Europe may be primarily due to an increased detection of these small papillary cancers, secondary to perhaps more widespread use of ultrasound of the neck and fine needle aspiration of very small thyroid nodules. So risk factors for these cancers include, as I mentioned, radiation exposure, family history plays a part, occupational exposures, and late age at first pregnancy. These thyroid cancers often present to a patient either silently and are picked up by a doctor, or they present as a small bump, what we would call a nodule. These bumps come to our attention when they're noticed by the patient, or perhaps when we're doing a routine physical exam and just feeling the thyroid. The good news is that most patients with papillary cancer do not die of their disease. Cancer related to mortality with papillary cancers is quite low. Estimates are somewhere around 6%. And there are some studies that help identify the very small group of patients that do poorly, and they tend to be older patients and patients with distant mets when they're diagnosed, or gross invasion of the tumor into surrounding important things like airways and nerves and major blood vessels. You found a poem that was published in the JAMA Otolaryngology Head and Neck Surgery this year, and starts on page 552. It attempts to answer the question, is patient age associated with the progression of low-risk papillary thyroid cancer? Mark, what did they find?
Yeah, so, you know, we developed ultrasound, and the thyroid is just such a great target. It's right near the surface. We can see it. We look at a patient. We can just, it's right there in front of us. And I think that there was a huge increase in the diagnosis of thyroid cancer over time, about a tripling in the incidence in the past 30 years, but no change in mortality. So that points to lots of low-grade cancers and overdiagnosis. So this was a meta-analysis to find any kind of study that followed patients with low-risk papillary thyroid carcinoma, both clinical trials and observational studies. They found five studies with a total of about 2,500 patients, mostly women. All of them analyzed the rate of growth of thyroid microcarcinomas or tumors up to 2 centimeters in diameter, so small tumors. Across the studies, only 10% or fewer people in each study had tumor growth of at least 3 millimeters over the 2 to 10 years of follow-up. So quite a small percentage had any progression of those lesions. Patients aged 40 to 50 were half as likely as younger patients to have tumor progression of at least 3 millimeters. There wasn't any significant heterogeneity, so the findings were consistent across the study. So identification of thyroid cancer has skyrocketed in the last 20, 30 years. The likelihood of people dying due to the disease has remained remarkably steady, and the answer is overdiagnosis. This study found low rates of progression in size from 0 to 10% in untreated patients. Those who were a little older, 40 to 50, were half as likely as younger patients to have tumor diameter growth during follow-up. There's some countries like Korea, Japan, where point-of-care handheld ultrasound in the primary care setting was quite common, and people started using it to screen regularly for thyroid nodules, and they found lots and lots of them. They had 7-10-fold increases in incidence, but again, no change in mortality. So just because we can do something, just because we have a technology and a scanner and it's cool and it makes us feel all scientific, doesn't mean we should do it. There are groups that recommend neck checks. There are groups that recommend ultrasound screening regularly. If you go to the church parking lot and get an ultrasound in the van that comes to the to outside of the service, you know, they might scan your ultrasound, your thyroid. Don't do it. Really, there's no definite benefit. It's a and the USPSTF and other organizations don't recommend this.
Yeah. So again, another example of sort of over-treatment, and technology has given us some amazing tools. They need to be applied carefully and with thought, not indiscriminately. Thank you, Mark, for both bringing the poem to our attention, but also for the discussion about the overuse of technology. We'll talk with you again in a week.
Looking forward to it.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.